prayer and Dhamma. Yeah, Sadhu. Let us do a very short salutation. We chant the Arahant, then we rejoice, then after that we will continue our sharing. Tonight I need to cover more because tomorrow is the last day before we go back on the line, on the 19. 19 is just very simple. Morning, a few things only, nothing to do with Dhamma. So we need to speed up a bit. Otherwise I cannot cover the whole of Heart Sutta. I want to finish out at least before the appendix. Then the appendix I can just explain. You go back, you will know what to do. Because this is very useful. This is the first year I completely cover all the Heart Sutta. Last time we cannot because we depend on the notes. And the notes I had to print which chapter important, which chapter important. So this year is the first year I very systematic follow the Heart Sutta. But I realize there's still a lot more to go. So I hope I can finish it by tomorrow. Okay, let us do the Arahant salutation. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we continue from where we stop. Page 97. The second last paragraph. The last paragraph of part one. Learn to live life and not to worry about life. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative to realize the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. The most important meditation training is the cultivation of daily mindfulness. We are following this instruction. We choose a way of every bodily and mental action and movement within the present moment. So this is daily mindfulness. Then 2.1 definition. Mental formation. This one we have gone through. Sankhara or mental activity or mental state is everything that the mind can do. That impermanence is a universal characteristic prevalent to all phenomena. See clearly how the phenomena come and how it goes, how they arise and pass away, their birth and death, their rise and fall, etc. Then next page. All conditioned arising phenomena are impermanent and they do not have a permanent unchanging entity of their own. Hence, they cannot be owned or held onto as the I and the mind. Our fundamental nature is the oneness nature or Buddha nature. Then we move on, saying by the most venerable Guangqing Lao He Sang. Guo qi xing bu ke de. The mind of the past cannot be grasped onto because it is already gone, not a reality. Wei lai xing bu ke de. The meaning is, The mind of the future also cannot be grasped onto because it has yet to come. It's also not a reality. 现在心也不可得。The mind of the present moment is the only reality and highest in life. But to transcend life, we have to transcend even the moment, which is still within the field of thought, hence impermanent. Like I say, split second is dead and gone. So you have to transcend even the present moment. That's why it's also not a reality. Yeah, as real as it can be, it's only within that moment. And that moment is just split second. How real can it be? That's why it's still impermanent within the field of thought. So this understanding will make you understand clearly what Sankara is all about. Moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? Are you truly living or are you too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life? So much so you totally miss out on life. That is, you never truly live, get to truly live life. To be with the moment in silent awareness within, to feel and to experience the reality of the moment, including all the wonder and beauties of life, is to live life. Then the next one, what is the difference between contemplation and thinking? I think this is very useful. To contemplate on the Dhamma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of truth that he has given under his first turning of the Four Noble Truths. Then this contemplative wisdom called Chintamaya Panya is part of the second turning of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. To develop this contemplation, one must have a calm and composed mind with the spiritual faculty of Sada, Viriyasati and Samadhi in this creative state of inquiry and reflect deep into its second turning hidden meaning. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry or investigation with the creative mind in Sati. There is some form of slight creative thinking, but not the active thinking. To bring about a better understanding of what has been heard under the first turning, followed by the assimilation of it. To stabilize one's understanding, just like a talented musician or a talented person. When are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate. To reflect and contemplate on their talent. Their mind is usually very quiet, calm and rather creative at that time. And that is the reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard, taught to you and read to you. Listen with attentiveness and a calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with that calm mind, with little or no thinking. Reflection is like inquiry, and reflection is like inquiring and contemplation. And contemplate its purpose is to stabilize what one have already understood. Note, assimilating the Dhamma is analogous to assimilating the food, like assimilating or absorbing the nutrients after eating the food. So it's just like after you reflect and contemplate through inquiry, means you throw the inquiry out, understand? Then don't go and think. Like birth is suffering. So you want to understand, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? So you throw this inquiry out. Then don't go and think. Then you just reflect and contemplate or recollect based on whatever you have been through in life experience. What is the birth process all about? A lady who go through birth, they will understand. Then the husband who are sensitive, who wants to find out and get involved with how the birth process is, you can develop the understanding. Then you will understand them. Then as you recollect the birth process, then when you hit certain part of the recollection, then suddenly the creative understanding come out. Oh, no wonder the Buddha say birth is suffering. Especially lady, they will feel it. Well, when you are conceiving, it starts to give you problem already, understand? But the first month maybe you didn't know. Then suddenly you realize the period doesn't come. Then you get excited if you want the baby, or there is what they call anxiety. If you don't expect the baby, then you quickly, especially those not married ones, then they quickly go and do a they call birth control, not birth control, what check? Pregnancy test. Yeah, thank you. So you go and do. Then what happened? Yeah. Confirm you have baby. So some jump for joy because they're looking forward to the baby. But the other one that is not ready or not married yet one, wow, I tell you, the thought will project sweat and all that. So this is all suffering, understand? The birth itself, the process is suffering. Then for those who want the baby also, as you go through the pregnancy, I don't know what month. Is it second month, the vomiting? Yeah, second month. So second and third month, like that one, I remember. Here's someone. Then at first I thought my wife got problem. I said, no. I said, normal. Then after that, what happened? Yeah? The baby fetus start to grow, understand? The kicking is much later. Yeah, I felt it on my wife's one. He showed me, kick ready. Wow, swollen thing come out. Now you can see, wow, I say so fierce. This is very active. It's alive. You must be happy. Don't kick. Wow, you cannot sleep, man, I tell you. You worry. But some don't kick one. Loy. Then very mild. I don't know. My mother told me, I'm the easiest to conceive and easiest to give birth and easiest to raise. I don't cry like normal baby. Then he said after I was born, when I want to like pee pee, you know what is pee pee? I was just then my mother don't carry me. They put me back. Then when I need food or what, I will just give a signal. I don't cry. Then if I want to make myself comfortable, she told me, my leg know how to kick the yao lam one. Then it will like somebody move the spring. That was what my mother told me. Then my grandmother, he told me, when you born that time, you young that time, I thought you dumb one. You know why? I never talk. In Hakka, I say, I thought you alo. Dumb. Because I hardly talk one, until 3-4 years old. I remember I very cute one. Because my father took some photo at the studio. I will look very curious one, but very naive one. That's why I'm very deep. I saw my own photo, then I knew straight away that mine is different. Until 6 years old, I got no thought, nothing. That mind is very pure and very innocent. You know how I get polluted? Before I went to Standard One, my parents transferred back to Alostar. Then the town they call Chaking Tiam, Simbang Kola. You a notorious place, gangster place. Then all speak foul language. Every 10 words, at least 7 foul language. So that's how I got conditioned. Then get entangled. Then I think that must be that time the Sankara will come back. I think it's meant for me to understand. So that when I grew up from the environment, then like I told you, the gangster won't come and disturb me. I don't know why. Then after that, I started to go to school. Then the first 2 years, the result very bad. I was last in Standard 1, second last in Standard 2 because of arithmetic. So that's why I told you the story. But after I understood the language, I progressed very fast. And the moment I understand, I beat a lot of the classmates. And that was what my life was all about. So you take care of karma, all this will come. So you don't have to like worry about life. Life is just the way it is. And everything was so like meant to be, smooth sailing. Like you are very lucky. Everything go your way. Plan also cannot plan until like that. So it let me understand all of this karmic thing and all those things. So because of that, I grew up in a very different manner. How did I come to here? What was I touching? I finished page 98, isn't it? Then how did I come to here? Contemplating on suffering? No. Oh, contemplation, reflection. Where was I? Oh, yeah, inquiry. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So from birth is suffering, come to here. So anyway, the ladies will know, huh? Then before the delivery, the delivery process, a lot of suffering. Then as you recollect, then you realize when the baby has a good normal birth, means mother and baby, no problem. So there is joy, you know, there is happiness. Then you look forward to what? New moon. Then your grandparents will come and give you the gold to hang here and there. Some of you, of course, keep in the safe. Wait till they grow bigger and you let them wear. Then after that, if let's say there is complication, then the doctor come out and tell you, we got a situation, you have to decide. To save the mother or to save the child. I tell you, sleepless night. Very traumatic. Then even let's say the birth came out normal, but the baby developed problem. Understand not? Very common is what? That one. Jaundice, yellow one. Then they put under incubator. My second child put under incubator for a while. My wife was in tears, I remember. So such a small baby subject to all those things. But just one day. Then after that, the jaundice was gone. So these are life reality and situation. Then to bring up the child, you think easier. That's why birth is suffering. So from birth, the natural thing that comes with it is old age, sickness and death, and the other first noble truth reality. That's why when you reflect, contemplate, you realize the Buddha is so wise. Truly, truly, birth is suffering. So this is how you inquire. You don't go and think of it. When you recollect, then you see all this process. Then you appreciate what your wife has gone through. Then when your kid grew up, you can tell them, you know, mom sacrificed so much for you to make sure you have a proper birth. We gave you life so that you can come to this world. We educate you. We train you. We sacrifice for you. We did so much thing for you. When you are sick, your mom, your parents care for you. Who wash your clothes? Your parents. When you get into trouble, who are the one who look after you? When you are sick, who are the one that care for you? Send you to the see doctor and all those things. So this type of parently love, you cannot like repay. Then they will have gratitude towards you. Then they will understand more. If you just pamper them, give them money, let them do what they like because in the name of love, that is not love. That is pampering them and creating the condition for all this. So in future, you have parents who do this to you, then you become very, very weak. You don't know how to survive. You don't have survival skill. Well, you don't learn all this. Everything has been provided, made, then everything also no need to do. Then until you don't know how all those things come. You only know how to enjoy life and all those things. So this is contemplation. Then we go on. I think we are at the last paragraph. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry or investigation with a creative mind in sati. Oh, this one we have done. Finished already. Okay. 29. There are no short note for last week Heart Sutta, so we will use the short note of the last Tuesday Surangama Sutta. This one I make use of the Tuesday class because there was no short note. The Surangama Sutta Leng Yan Jing is important because without it, the Mara will create havoc. According to Master Chen Hua, this sutta will be the first sutta to disappear during the Dharma ending age. If this sutta is around, the Mara will find it very difficult to delude the cultivator. This sutta explains clearly the danger of the 50 divan samadhi, just as I told you, Wu Si Ying Mo, that can trap the cultivator if they deludedly grasp onto any of them. The Surangama Sutta also explains how living beings come into the world of existence. We are the four stages of manifestation originating thing from the source. This one I have already taught you. When Jiwei asked me that question, I've gone through. These four stages of manifestation are clearly explained in the notes to be given out at the next Tuesday class. So I read this part, which is from Surangama Sutta, then you understand. Then Jiwei will also understand. From the source come the true mind in pure awareness before the knowing. Man, because of basic ignorant cause, since time without beginning, this is the one the Buddha said, inconceivable is the beginning of birth, of the first thought of ignorance. By the first thought which screened the true mind, became subject to birth and death. Thus both permanent and impermanent unite to transform that true mind into alaya vinyanang, or store consciousness, the root of all, the root of samsara. The alaya consciousness has three characteristics. A karmic one, which is basic ignorance resulting from self-evidencing. A changing one, or condition arising one, which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception. And that's how you start to create perception. The root of the first seven consciousness, and its expression in appearances or form. This is later. Because of basic ignorance, the spiritual bright and nirvanic absolute void has changed into dull and deluded emptiness. Hence, Manjusri said, thus in delusion there appear one-sided emptiness. Within this dull emptiness, ignorance gradually crystallizes and turns into illusionary form, make out the four elements, resulting in the imaginary world created within the void. When false perception confronts form, a very small portion of this form was gradually grasped as being self-possessed and being supported by wrong perception. Mind and form unite and grasp as this dim little form as the ego, thereby creating the living being made up of the five aggregates of form and mind. Hence, Manjusri continued. You listen, listen. Steadying itself, the thinking process make the continent and the illusionary knower became the living being. Then via delusion and ignorance, the living being with the mundane or samsaric mind, the five mental aggregates of form and mind, came to be via karmic conditioning. And this was then grasped at, hence the self-delusion and sakayaditi. This was the origin of a living being. Ever since then, this living being grasps at the condition arising five aggregates of form and mind, as the ego, as the I and the me. So how then can he now recognize its boundless true mind before stirring? Now you know how you get lost. Because you are so beautiful, but you get lost too long. You forgot that you come from that true mind, the boundless. Then come the external phenomenal world, or world of form or consciousness created by mundane mind. Here is condition arising thought and consciousness. So our meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand all this retrospectively, to return the entire external phenomenal world back to consciousness within the mundane mind. Then silence and still the mundane mind to connect back to the true mind before returning it to the source via the complete cessation of form and mind. Everything you come to know or perceive is manifestation through mind. Mind make a day, a condition arising phenomenal world of consciousness. Before mind arise, there was nothing. So everything come after mind has arisen via mental consciousness. So how real can mental consciousness be? Just a mental image, isn't it? constantly arising and passing away from moment to moment. Hence its impermanence and empty or anatta nature. If you cannot understand all this via wisdom, then you will grasp and cling onto all this mental manifestation very strongly, thinking that they are real. This is delusion, and it can be so powerful as to cause you a lot of suffering via your sorrow, lamentation and fear, etc. When you train your mind to be silent, ever mindful and heedful, then you will be able to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom and understanding to enable you to free and liberate your mind, so that you need not suffer anymore. Then you will be able to connect to the true mind and live from there. It is this true mind in pure awareness that can see things as they are to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. When wisdom stabilizes, the mundane mind will realize itself and cease to be, to realize Nibbana. Nibbana is complete cessation of form and mind. Even the pure awareness also ceases, and it cannot be talked about because it is the unconditioned and beyond the form and mind. The Mahayana sixth consciousness is the Theravada Sanya, aggregate of mind, which is usually translated as mental perception or cognition. It also includes the conception and discerning aspect of the mundane mind. But the key meaning is perception and cognition. The five types of consciousness means the first five consciousness. That's why you heard Mahayana always tell you they got eight types of consciousness. Eh? Those who are Mahayana, you know. The first five is actually very simple. Your five physical senses. Each of them have a consciousness. So that is the first five. Then the sixth is actually your sanya. Perception aggregate. So the first five type of consciousness are your seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile consciousness. And the 6, 7, and 8 consciousness of the Mahayana are within our mind, our mental consciousness that arise upon contact of mind with its respective sense organ and data. They are actually your sankhara. After perception is sankhara, then vijnanam. That's how it makes up of the 8. The mundane mind or false thinking mind is not your true mind because it is conditioned arising. That is not a permanent and changing entity. He has no nature of his own, whereas Nirvana is totally different, where it is the unconditioned. Once the mundane mind completely ceases, then the true mind will manifest, leading upstream to the realization of the oneness nature of Buddha nature. Mundane mind is the deluded, heedless thinking mind, capable of false perception, cognition, memory, knowledge, and false thinking, karmic related. Sankhara and Sanya are very active within. It constantly clings and grasps onto sense data, whereas the true mind is the silent, heedful mind, pure and clear, profound, bright mind. It can be aware of sense data, thought, and it can also see things as they are. The mind of the enlightened one is connected to their true mind with wisdom. It is the essence of mind, the unconditioned mind. So all this you will develop understanding as you meditate. Sanya, perception, brings the external form into the mind via mental perception, and it is also called the sixth consciousness. The external form then becomes the mental form or sense data of the mind to arise mental consciousness, because mind is also an organ. Then the seventh consciousness is sankhara. Sankhara is likened to the mental organ, and upon contact within mind via the mental activity of sankhara, it triggers off the eight consciousness, alaya or store consciousness, they call vijnanam. The four foundation of mindfulness in brief. First foundation, kaya nupassana. There are six categories of practice. Anapanasati is the first category, mindfulness of the in and out breath, to train the mind to be in sati, to develop heedfulness. Once heedful, cultivate mindfulness of the four postures, standing, sitting, walking, and lying down, aware. Then move on to cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness with clear comprehension of all connecting activity in between the four postures. That is daily mindfulness of all action and movement in the present moment to develop the initial insight into the three characteristics of nature. Then the four types of clear comprehension are comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, Reality of the here and the now means suitability, and lastly, non-delusion. All this we covered. Then cultivate mindfulness of the four elements which constitute the physical form to see its anatta nature. Then contemplate the 32 parts that constitute the physical body to understand its condition arising nature of all the parts coming together to perform the function of a human being and to realize its foulness. Then finally, to contemplate the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition of this physical form or body after it's devoid of consciousness. When the form and mind is devoid of consciousness, it goes the way of nature. Then you will come to a great realization that form is not you. We have no more feeling after that, no more mind aggregate. But after you die, how can you know? Yeah? That's why you go to the chatter ground and observe somebody else's body. The second foundation is Vedana, mindfulness of feeling that arises upon contact of mind. Be aware of feeling. If feeling has been conditioned into pleasant and unpleasant feeling, then one has to be aware that it has become sensual desire and ill will, which are the first two of the mental hindrance. And it is also the first two evil roots of greed and hatred. With this awareness, we must arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen, followed by the right effort to prevent them from arising in the future. So this is real Vedana Nupassana. So during the meditation, if we are not mindful of the uncomfortable tactile feeling that arises via lack of wisdom, then we will react to it and label it as painful or unpleasant feeling, which is the reason why your mind cannot be peaceful anymore, because the pain that you label is a mental hindrance. So now you understand, don't create mental hindrance. Because I'm not going to note pain, pain, pain. You create more mental hindrance. If we have this understanding, then we will be mindful of this feeling via our silent mind to investigate it, to trace its origination factor, so as to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. The mind will come to understand if there is no wrong view or self-delusion. Then the stirring of the mind leading to the arising of the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will not happen. Then we are straightening one's views to accept things as they are. One will be able to retrospectively reverse it, thereby understanding how the disappearance of the arisen hindrance comes to be via wisdom. Then as this wisdom finally stabilizes, one will also come to understand how the non-arising of this hindrance in the future comes to be. This is the way to develop wisdom or insight via Vedana Nupassana, and not just not pain, pain, pain to do away the pain. We are resisting suppression and control, etc. To go deeper into the investigation, we can also inquire as follows. Before this unpleasant feeling arise, there was none. Hence, the awareness of this feeling, transforming into mental hindrance, can bring about an understanding of how the unarisen hindrance come to be. How come I have this reaction of mind to those mental perceptions that I come to perceive via my seeing or hearing or thinking, thereby conditioning the feeling or sensation into mental hindrance or sensual desire and ill will? It is because of one's conditioning to reject unpleasant feeling, which is the negative craving, hence a wrong view, born of habitual tendency. If you can be at peace with what you perceive via acceptance of what is, then there is no more wrong view. Then with this right view, or right understanding, one can just let things be, and then silence one's mind to relax into it. When you do not react or grasp and cling onto the sensation with aversion or wrong view, then what happens? The hindrance is no more. No more there. So the mind that accepts the reality of that sensation without reacting to it can be at peace with it. Hence the mind can relax into it and the sensation will become normal and peaceful again. The lack of peace comes from your reaction of mind to try to do it away with that unpleasant sensation that you had labeled via your wrong view. Meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand and then act with right view, following Noble Eightfold Path, which is incapable of negativity, to resolve all issues amicably. Instead of reacting to them via delusion and wrong view, thereby creating more negativity in the process. So the main purpose and intent of meditation is to realize wisdom, to be at peace with any situation within the moment, and not to label it as pain. With no aversion, then only can we accept the reality of the moment, to understand that it is because we do not know how to relax into it that is causing the chi flow to be constricted, thereby causing the unpleasant sensation. This is what you should do. You don't have to resist, suppress, or control that feeling. Then third foundation, citta nupassana. Like feeling, here we go deeper into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and the various state of consciousness, etc. Like when the content of consciousness has greed, one must be aware to deal with it as above, so as to develop the wisdom to free the mind. Then the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana. First category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, followed by mindfulness of five aggregate of form in mind. Then mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, the 18 sense rhyme, to trace its origination factor, then retrospectively reverse them via wisdom. Then after that, mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the final cultivation of mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. Once enlightened, there is no more delusion. So one will never be deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live the noble life wonderfully and meaningfully, following Noble Eightfold Path, thereby becoming a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutta says true emptiness is wonderful existence. Okay, then I have to explain one more thing here. If your meditation is on the right track, you know what will happen? The enlightenment factor will keep on arising. Understand? Yeah? The seven factors of enlightenment, yeah? You're familiar with that. If you meditate and meditate and meditate, the seven factors of enlightenment are not there, how can you get enlightened? That's why the Dhammanupassana is very clear. After you develop the mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, you already have the wisdom. Then you will understand that this mental hindrance is the one that causes you the lack of peace, that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Then what you need is the five spiritual faculty. Then after that, when you understand, you go to the next category. You meditate on mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind to see them clearly, the two aspects. Then after that, you move on to mindfulness, six external and six internal sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. And when you have this understanding already, your seven factor of enlightenment keep on arising, keep on arising, keep on. After you have done Kaya Nupassana, develop the daily mindfulness, stabilize it, then Vedana Nupassana to see clearly how the pleasant, unpleasant means the what they call the first two mental hindrance, how they arise in you. Then the other one is neutral, is the delusion part. Then after that, you go deeper into the consciousness through Citta Nupassana. Then where there is greed, you are aware. So these are the three evil roots and all those things. Then your content of consciousness, the state of mind. So all this you will understand. Then after you have traced the origination factor, you know how this mental hindrance arises, you know how to seize it. Then after that, the initial wisdom is really there, the understanding is really there, then all of the seven factors of enlightenment will arise. You must have sati to be heedful to do mindfulness of the four foundations. Then you have to do the investigation, second factor of enlightenment. So all this will be there when you start cultivating. Then when it stands up to investigation, your mind becomes different. There is virya, spiritual zeal, because you have faith. Your faith deepens. Then your condition stronger virya. That's why the third factor of enlightenment arises. Then after virya, it will drive you to cultivate, to stabilize your mindfulness further. Then when mindfulness is there, very stable, piti will arise. That is the fourth factor of enlightenment. Then when you relax into piti, it will transform to sukha, then pasati, tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. Then there is the silent mind, meditating, aware. Then when you stabilize the silent mind, the true mind, it will become samadhi. With sati and samadhi, you are sitting as they are, then arise the wisdom. And wisdom create upeka, or equanimity of mind. That's why you will start to be mindful of the seven factors of enlightenment. Then you would already know you are on the right track. Understand? Because the factors of enlightenment are there. And you were awakened. So that's how when you have the seven factor of enlightenment, you go to the Four Noble Truths. Mindfulness of it, the three turning, very simple, very fast. You were transformed and you were awakened. That's how the whole meditation come about. Okay? Then we move on. Understanding what mindfulness or sati is very important. Sati is before the knowing, just an awareness within the moment without thought. That is, phenomena and mind as one without thought, like anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just feel the breathing, and then the mind and breath move as one in complete synchrony without thought. Following Buddha's instruction, breathing in aware, breathing out aware, one is aware, etc. A calm and peaceful mind is only a byproduct of a well-trained mind. That the main purpose and intent of Buddha's meditation is not about becoming peaceful and calm only, but to develop wisdom to be at peace with all situations. Otherwise, one will be trapped with the mind that is attached to the calm and peaceful meditation as good meditation. And when your meditation is not peaceful and calm, then you are afflicted and you label it as bad meditation. Hence, your sensual desire and ill will, which are hindrance of mind, are still there. Like the saying goes, any sense experience, whether pleasant or unpleasant, is a prelude to suffering or dukkha. Even very fantastic and so-called good meditative experience, including experiencing jhana, seeing nimitta, etc., are just conditioned arising state within meditation. And unless one can develop the wisdom out of it, or out of them to free the mind, then they are of not much use. Then the next question. Pratyo, during the meditation, when I hear the birds very loud and excited chirping, I follow your instruction, just be aware and no more nothing. Is it correct? This one, you have to go through the answer to understand. I told her it's very dangerous to do that, because when you quote me and follow what I say via your own interpretation of it without proper investigation to develop your own understanding, then you become gullible. The reason being, when you are fully aware and without thought, the listening is very different because it is with the silent mind in full creative awareness and attentiveness. Only then can you truly awaken via clearly witnessing the condition arising of the hearing consciousness within your meditation. This is not a concept or a theory, but truly realizing it during the meditation. So there is a reason why I always say, don't quote me, but just cultivate to investigate and find out for yourself whether what I have said to you is the truth or not. Don't just believe me and be gullible. Okay? Nevertheless, it's a good question, because if you don't ask, I cannot point out your mistake and explain further. When you meditate, you just relax your body and mind, and maintain silent inner awareness to be watchful of what is going on within the form of mind. How one reacts to sense experience and get conditioned into the various mind state, to become afflicted via one's heedlessness and wrong view, and how one functions as a human being, and how we become what we are, how our mind, thought, feeling, and emotion arise and pass away, following the dependent origination. Awareness or sati is the silent mind before the knowing, and it is just aware, or awareness without thought. There is mind and phenomena as one in perfect harmony and synchrony to move and flow with life. But due to ignorance or delusion, the mind cannot become heedful or mindful because it thinks a lot and becomes very heedless via habitual tendency. Through ignorance, the mind keeps on reacting to sense experience to arise like and dislike, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, restlessness, doubt, etc. throughout the day. These are the five mental hindrances that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Such continuous mind heedless thinking with the five mental hindrances will become so habitual, and this is the reason why most living beings think a lot and find it so difficult to meditate. The moment you close your eye, there are so many thoughts. You remember? Like Brother Victor said, he preferred to open his eye. Yeah, you cannot deal. He has been heedless for so long. So the first thing to do in meditation is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty. Just now the sister that came and asked me, remember this. Sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya via your daily devotional puja to counter the hindrance, thereby reversing all the heedless thinking so as to become more peaceful and calm. Another skillful means is the mind supreme method to just feel and relax the body and mind without thinking, so as to decondition your heedless thinking. It will also train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. This is followed by anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, so as to develop apamada or heedfulness. When the mind is trained and heedful, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, calm and peaceful, you will just do that. You want it to be aware at the moment of feeling, perception, activity or mind, you will just do that. Such a mind can meditate and understand what is going on. You want it to think, then only it thinks. Otherwise, it is silent, relaxed and just aware within. The mind becomes like your obedient and faithful servant, and it is always at your command to do what you instruct it to do, especially to live and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, to live life to the fullest and meaningfully. If the user of thought is wise, then thought becomes beautiful, right and wholesome thought. Otherwise, if the user of thought is evil and heedless, then thought becomes evil, that is wrong thought, that continuously conditions one's evil root of greed, hatred and delusion, leading to suffering and misery. This is the reason why the Noble Eightfold Path is about right thought only. The cultivation of the five spiritual faculties is very important, but it can help you overcome the five mental hindrances, thereby enabling you to understand easily the Buddha Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Radiating love and metta, we are reciting, may this body of mine be well and happy always, also help complement the cultivation, because it will bring about a calm and composed mind with a lot of inner well-being and happiness. And this positive mind state of good vibration will help improve and strengthen your immune system. When the mind has a lot of well-being, joy and metta, it can become calm and composed because it is without the heedless thinking and hindrance of mind. Hence, it can be heedful to develop the meditation, especially after a stressful day. If one can meditate to bring about inner peace, inner well-being and inner clarity of mind, to develop the wisdom, then one can be in the state of constant relaxed inner awareness with a lot of inner peace and joy, always. Meditation involves two steps, so this one we have gone through. We can skip. Okay, next page, 32. No more notes for this section. Previous notes are more than adequate for your cultivation. So do strive on with heedfulness. Then Heart Sutta, Lesson 32. The 18 sense rhyme, this one we have gone through. First set is the sense basis. Second set is the sense... first set is the sense organ. Then second set is the sense basis or sense data. External sense basis. First one is internal, that is your organ. Then the third set of six is the respective sense door consciousness. So the 18 sense rhyme. Understanding this 18 sense rhyme can lead to understanding of how you know the world and how you interact with the world, plus how you function as a human being, leading to the understanding of who you are and what you are. It is important for us to understand what sankhara is, Sankara is the content of consciousness, or everything that your mind can do, including the aggregate of feeling and perception. So this one we have gone through. It includes all your mental movement and activity, like mental states, intention, planning and scheming, formation, condition, view and opinion, etc. The consciousness aggregate is the pure receptacle. Consciousness and its content becomes the thought, which is the mental five aggregate of forming mind that the Buddha referred to under the final summary of the First Noble Truth, in which the Buddha said, in short, it is due to one's self-delusion, scarcity, that condition one's craving and clinging to grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind that he called dukkha. This is due to self-delusion. Living beings tend to attach, cling, and cling to their physical form, mental feeling, external form, that they come to perceive in every moment of consciousness. Their mental thinking and mental consciousness, taking them to be real and calling them the I and the me and the mind, leading to all the suffering. Take for example, when one perceives their loved one, good friend, colleague or pets, or various prized possessions like their property, money and wealth, etc., and grasps onto them, then what happens? The fear of separation or losing them can arise if you don't have the wisdom and deludedly perceive them as really belonging to you. Once your attachment and grasping to them, you can be afflicted and you will become very fragile and vulnerable. It is due to delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto them, because you fail to see their impermanent suffering state and anatta or non-self nature. All sense experience and phenomena, no matter how alluring, are a prelude to suffering, because they are of the nature to arise and pass away or cease. So they were separate from you without wisdom, developed via heedfulness. One will not be able to accept this reality. One must train one's mind to be heedful or ever mindful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, leading to enlightenment via realization of the Four Noble Truths. And then the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, this one we have gone through, the Fire Sermon on. The eye, bhikkhu, is burning. Visual form is burning. So this one you go through again. Next page. Okay, all this is the same. Then bhikkhu, form is burning. Feeling is burning. All this is the same. Okay. Burning with what? Burning with the fire of greed. Fire of aversion. Fire of delusion. Okay, the manifestation of birth. Aging and death, sorrow, lamentation, etc. This will be the outcome. Then disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate, and through dispassion, he is fully released. So this one is from the Fire Sermon. With full release, there is knowledge. Fully released, he discerns that birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled and thus done. There is nothing further for the world, for this world. So here the 18th sense line is the same, it's just in picture form. Then the next one is also your 18th sense line in picture form. Then part 3, page 110. Meditation consists of two parts, again same. First part is to train the mind to be heedful, and second part is to make use of it to train the mind in heedfulness to live life and cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, with special emphasis on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. The mind that is trained listen to you. This one all we have gone through. Okay, you go back and read. Then next page, Heart Sutta 33. Dhammapada was 21, also done. Self-delusion all done. Ultimate Nirvana, okay. Maybe we go through this one. Okay, maybe one paragraph above. Self-delusion is a very powerful delusion, because during every moment of sense door consciousness, like seeing, hearing and thinking, etc., the personality or egoic mind will arise if there is self-delusion, sakadity. Then one will try to own and possess things. This is how selfishness, which is an evil root, arises. Similarly, because of the ego, one can become jealous, angry, emotional and fearful, which is the second evil roots of hatred and delusion. As they are the roots of all evil, this is the reason why when things do not go your way, and when you cannot get what you want or desire, you can become very unhappy. And you can also get angry and become emotional. When confronted with the First Noble Truth, reality of all those described, leading to one's suffering. See that it's just a thought, not a reality at all. So how come it has the power to torment you and cause you so much suffering? This is wrong view, conditioned by your self-delusion to grasp and cling onto the so-called problems, hence causing your fear, worry and anxiety, etc. Do see its impermanent characteristic and anatta nature, that it is just a thought which comes and goes, and it has no power over you if you are not deluded by it. So that is a very powerful statement. It's only a thought. And what is a thought? A mental tool for you to live life on the sana. Yeah? For you to use to live life, to meditate, to cultivate, to arise the right thought and all those things. But what are you doing? You use thought wrongly. You don't know how to use that tool. Like a knife, you use to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out and others. That is the wrong way of using thought. That's why it's only a thought. How come you use it wrongly to make yourself so miserable? Because that is wrong thought. Wrong thought are thought that condition your evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, resulting in fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So this part, you have to understand it very clearly. Then you can see it clearly. Then noble evil power very easy to cultivate. Then you know what is right thought. It's just like the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. You must understand what constitutes evil and what are these greed, hatred and delusion. That's why we took the Bodhisattva vow and aspire to understand this life after life when we come. So all these are the skillful means to set up condition. But you need the Bodhi mind planted, which is to aspire to walk this path, to take the Bodhisattva vow. Otherwise, all this cannot come to be. But you have the Bodhi mind planted, then you make this affirmation. And then the condition will arise for it to arise. And you will be very beautiful after that, even without the Buddha Sasana. Next, 2.1. Ultimate Nirvana. When you have wisdom, you do not cling to the Dhamma. The Dhamma are only words, concept, and skillful means pointing towards truth, as likened to the finger pointing at the moon. This one we covered, eh? The commentary states, the mind of the past cannot be obtained, the mind of the future cannot be obtained. The mind of the present is also cannot be obtained. This English translation by the commentary is not so clear as compared to the Mandarin version. This one we have done. 过去心不可得,未来心不可得,现在心也不可得. All this we have done. Then the next page. The present moment may be the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, one must also transcend even the moment. This is because the moment passes by so fast, and it is also not a reality in that sense, that a split second is dead and gone. This moment, then the next moment, and the next moment, only a stream of unending moments of thought, rising and falling. See this clearly and free your mind via heedfulness. Only consciousness and thought arising and passing away, implying it is not nothing substantial and it's not surreal. This is the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and mind when mind arises, everything comes to be. And mind makes adi. So if one acts, speak and think with a heedless or unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, then suffering will follow one. Like the wheel that follow the hoof. So this is very clear, we have gone through. Hence the reason why the Surangama Sutta say, this is the one. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. So all this, you will understand. The first seeing refer to mundane seeing via condition arising mundane mind. Whereas the second seeing refers to a direct seeing via the true mind, which is beyond thought and beyond mind, beyond the mundane mind. When cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, one must be diligent to do it continuously with full determination in order to be successful. and one must not be complacent. A good analogy is of the primitive man making a fire. This one is a very good analogy, by rubbing a stick against the rock to spark off the fire. One must not stop halfway before the spark can trigger off the fire. Hence, heedfulness must be stabilized and sustained until one is ever mindful. You realize that the comparison of the primitive man making the fire is very good. You have to go until it's hot enough to spark. Then you must put dry grass and all things. Then the fire catches up. You understand? But if you do three-quarter way, then you decide not to do. You're not serious. Then how to light up? Next time you come back, you have to start all over again. Then if you got coming obstruction, you know what happened. As you near 90% or 95%, the rain come. Understand? Or the wind come, then blow away the dry grass. Then you can't make it. That's why coming obstruction is very, very dangerous. Okay, we move on. Why do I experience heat which come and go during meditation? I haven't finished the perception of form. Finished already. When cultivating Buddha Dhamma, this is all finished. You cannot stop halfway. Okay, part 3. Why do I experience heat which come and go during meditation? Whether heat arises or not is not so important. Where the main purpose and intent of meditation is to train the mind in heedfulness first. Just now that lady who asked me also same. She was telling me her body is very sensitive to qi, energy qi. Every time it comes, it will move her, sway and all things. Then I told her, relax into it, then it's okay. Then someone asked question, you can't understand. Then I say, remember, your focus is what? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to train your mind and train the 5 spiritual faculty. I say, for the time being, forget about this one. Your focus is whether you are doing the mind sweeping method, metta to train. So here is very clear. Understand? So all these are not important. Once the spiritual faculty is there and you have developed the mindfulness, then all this will be answered by itself. You will know how to deal. You will know how to meditate. That's why the focus is very important. Whether heat arises or not is not so important. But the main purpose and intent of meditation is to train the mind in heedfulness first. That is to be in a stable state of relaxed inner awareness or mindfulness first. Then only one can meditate. Heat can be due to the environment that you are in or due to the yin-yang imbalance within your body. The key thing is just to be in the state of relaxed inner awareness, to be aware of everything that arises and pass away during meditation. Just maintain a silent, passive awareness. Don't try to know. The understanding will come by itself. We are an awakening and we are not we are thinking. So all this you will know. Then whatever that arise, whether heat or what, you just relax into it and silent. And then you will come to know. Because sometimes it's a yin-yang imbalance. You play with energy. They all go and like temper with the chakra. They call it opening chakra. But you know how they open? They use their thought to focus. Like Tan Tian, like the third eye, or the throat chakra, or the heart chakra, and all the chakra. Then they say, they open. Then like Kundalini, release all this energy. What do you think? Is that opening chakra? My last teacher said this is tempering the chakra. You know what you do or not? Before you are enlightened, what is your thought? Mostly yin-yang, not the right thought, is it? No equanimity, nothing, is it? Got duality, one, is it? And you use this type of energy, which is not the wisdom energy, And you go and tamper with this chakra, That's why you will release yin-yang, understand? Imbalance nature. So in Singapore, when I was there, they told me there is one lady, meditate until the heat, because he play with energy. They were in an aircon room, you know, meditating. You know. She developed such heat, so hot until she took all her dress. You know. But I don't know whether the final one was hot or not. I don't know. And they saw her sweating inside there, you know, and couldn't take the heat. See? You don't have a good teacher, you go and play with all this. Like one group of people who later on, before they met my last teacher, a few years before that, somebody who is the head of that group, I think there were 30, 40 of them too, they were curious about all the Swami. You know what is Swami? Yeah? From India, Swami. You heard of? S-W-A-M-A-N-M-I. A-M-I. We are that one all, like very, very spiritual. And, oh, then with the hair all white and all that. So one Swami came, no, it seemed according to them, very good, very famous. So the whole group went to him. No. Then they go and organize from him. 1 week or 2 weeks of meditation, don't know where, you know, somewhere. I think must be either Fraser Hill or Cameron, I also don't know, he told me. Then you know what happened? Meditate until every one of them got energy, you know, very strong. No. Then very excited, no, come back. Wow. Then what happened? The Swami went back to India. They don't have contact after that, no. Cannot find the Swami, no. Nobody know what is going on, no. Then everybody with the problem, they don't say anything, no. Then later on, they kena until so kaulat. One by one starts to relate, no. Hey, how are your meditation? How are? How are? Everyone kena until, don't know what to do, no. Then the head, he kena until the karmic manifest, no. The business went down, the children got problem, and a lot of problem. Until he finally got no choice because they say, you better go and see a doctor, psychiatric or whatever. Then he went and see doctor. It so happened it's my classmate, no, from my town, hometown, also Teo. His name and my name very near. He Teo Kim Loon, I Teo Kim Kun. Then this classmate of mine, the doctor, he's very good, no. He checked him. He know you got no sickness. But this guy keep on going back, tell him you got energy problem, this one problem, that one problem, all the other problem, that life problem, everything. Then my classmate knew already, mental. And he didn't even call me and tell me, you know. He just tell this patient, this head of the group, I think one person can help you. He gave me my name and my phone number to him, you know. And later on, I came to know he's a mechanical engineer, MU also, my senior, 4 or 5 years. And he called me, you know, thinking that I'm another Swami or whatever. I was on the phone with him for 2 hours. I said, a doctor recommend you to me? Cannot be, I'm not a doctor. I said, huh, you're not a doctor? I said, I don't know, he recommend. I said, what is the name of the doctor that I get? When he mentioned his name, Dr. Teo, then I said, is it Sipak one? Oh, he said, yes. Is it Teo Kim Loon? Yes. Wow, then I know him. This classmate, very good. Yeah, he knew I know this thing. He just sent it to me without telling me. Then I asked him, what is your problem? So he tell me all this thing. Energy and all that. I said, I need to know more. Where do you get all these things? Then he told me about the Swami story, you know, this thing. You know. Oh, I said, this type of meditation, I don't do one. I cannot help you. But if you want me to help you, I have another way. I asked him to ask for forgiveness and all those things. Then reverse all the energy, come out, and do metta, and do dana, make offering, all that. You know what he told me? You know? What do you mean by dana? What do you mean by make offering? What do you mean by asking for forgiveness? He's totally alien. He's interested in psychic oneness. Then finally, luckily, that time my teacher, Achan Yantra, was around. I said like that, you better follow me. I take you to see my teacher. Then you know what is dana, what is paying respect, what is doing metta, loving kindness. Then because of that, luckily he came along. Then finally, not long, my last guy appear. No. Then he also interested. No, he got faith in me. Every year he'll come and see me, pay the make the offering. Then he like to talk to me. Then, because I think after he do the metta, all those things, he become better. After he make offering, all those things, then ask for forgiveness, he become better. Then, when he heard about my this last guy and last teacher, he intend to follow me to Singapore. So after I took him to Singapore, met this last guy, which I met in Cameron Highland, not Cameron Highland, Genting Highland, yes. Then after that, this thing activated and all those things, then I become very different. Then he saw him, then you know what he said, he go and talk to my Singapore friend. Can I invite him over to my house in PJ Slang Hall? So he thought another Swami coming. So finally agree, you know. I say, okay, you want to invite him, then I can maybe talk to him. Then together we come on. Well, he liked me so much. He said, no problem, Joe, no problem. He said, I will come. Then he got a bungalow, you know, very big, can cater for even until 100 people, I think. So bring my last teacher over, become the guest, stay at his house, aircon everything, then take care of him very well. Then you know, but he go and tell all his friends, you better come. This one is better than the Swami. Can solve your problem. When they come, my last guy told me, these people have been playing with all this energy field psychic. You know what he told me or not? He said, terrible. He said, he don't want to do this type of work one. He said, the negative energy with a lot of this negative one. He said, dark and black one, real black one. He said, a lot of them would have, if he is not there to release and all this, they will have died. He said. So you know what he did or not? He one by one clear for them. Then he said he can actually, I don't know true or not, he said he can take in here, use his body as a funnel and funnel it out. Understand? No? Supposed to be. But he said after that he very sick. No? The physical body affected. No? A lot of things. No? Then he said, cannot, I am not a healer. He said, I don't do this type of thing. I want people who understand and develop understanding. But because first time, understand? So he did for this group. That's why I say don't play with energy field. Then after that, they all very happy. But later on also, I don't know what happened, whether they go back to one. But later on, we separated. After 2 years or 3 years, separated. By then, they all, I think most of them okay already. Most of them okay. So the warning is, don't play with things that you don't understand. Especially you go and invite all those, you think very, very fantastic one. The Suranga Master will tell you. After that, you cannot find him. No. Wow, that is the time you will really get into big trouble. Okay, we read on here. Then only can one meditate. Oh, sorry, I read the earlier part. The intent of meditation is to train the mind in heedfulness first. Then, that page 112. Did I finish this one? Oh, finish. Don't try to know. Finish, Oh, okay. Then question 2. I can be very heedful and mindful when I am here doing meditation. The question asked by Kanamita. In a very conducive environment. But when I am in the midst of life, I can be very heedless. At least he knows. When I am in a very negative environment situation, I can become deluded very fast. Then I start to blame myself and get angry at myself. Why? This type of question also gone. Then I answer. I say, this is normal. Like our career guardian, career counselor, Kiat Hun. This is human nature. Actually, I told him that. Like your answer, normal, human nature. Then stop. But I didn't stop. Now you answer, you listen to the answer. I say, this is normal. When you are in this present, tranquil, meditative environment, you will be naturally more peaceful and heedful. Everything appears very smooth sailing because it is a conditioned environment or state of mind with no negativity to stir and test you. But when you are in the midst of life, you are usually less heedful. So when you are with someone, that do not, oh sorry, that you don't like or revered and difficult people, then you can be, you are tested. During this moment, you have yet to develop the wisdom needed to calm yourself down. Then it is very likely you will become unhappy via your heedless reaction to what they say and what they do. You will have to learn to confront or face all this negativity or difficult life situation with wisdom to free your mind. That's why you must investigate into all this. That is, how your reaction to sense experience condition your delusion. Conditioned by your delusion, develop into very strong habitual tendency without you even becoming aware of them. Habitual tendency born of delusion are difficult to change or correct overnight. True or not? Eh? Your character, your habit are very difficult to change. Silence your mind to investigate into their origination factors so that you can later retrospectively reverse it via wisdom after you have contemplated into it. That is, how this anger or fear arises in your mind, and then inquire, are they real? Is anger or fear really what you are? Apart from all this mental state that come and go, is there a nature within that is unmoving and unchanging? All these are part of meditation. That's why you have to realize all this. Your problem lies in your inability to recognize the fact that you are not what you think you are. What your thinking or mundane mind tells you via your self-delusion. Your true nature within is already perfect and without any negativity or discrimination. The duality, the right and wrong convention. So don't blame yourself for being like so useless because you cling to your own form and mind, the so-called human being as the you and the mind and the I, hence the delusion. Blaming and getting angry with yourself is of no use because it is a wrong view. The anger or fear that arises is not you, always remember. Then you will not get so attached and cling. But only a conditioned state of mind that arises after you have reacted to what you see, what you hear and think via your own self-delusion, which is a wrong view. If you do not perceive whatever life situation that arises with negativity or wrong view, then you will not react and there will be no suffering. You will come to understand via your heedfulness that when things don't go your way, then you will react because you want things your way, which is against nature's way. Hence, suffering will arise because you have your expectations that are not met and you are unable to understand that people are just the way they are. And this is the fact. This is the part. This is part of the first Noble Truth, seven reality, the seven condition or reality of life and existence. When you have right view, anger, selfishness, and fear, they will cease to be. As we all know, a deluded person will say or do deluded things. Likewise, an angry person or violent person will do and say angry and violent things. You have to develop the wisdom via your meditation to just accept them for what they are. And then you will be peaceful. You only need to change and straighten your view to free your mind. This realization is wisdom, and this one will become yoni so manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience, wise attention or wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Hence the saying, wisdom free, whereas delusion bind. Then the next question, how do I overcome discrimination against a specific person? When you use your false thinking or condition arising discriminating thinking mind, to see and perceive a specific person via your wrong view and opinion born of your own mind conditioning, then this discriminative perception will arise. The problem is your sakkayaditti, self-delusion, that condition you to deludedly cling into your false thinking mind, leading to your inability to realize your true mind, to see things as they are via wisdom. Please refer to the 7th Surangama note dated for further explanation. So that one No more. Next page. Heart Sutta 34. Verse for opening the sutta. This is the one I said. You have to understand and bear in mind. The opening verse is the unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma. Okay, read together. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Reciting the above, no, this one I read. Reciting the above opening verse with great sincerity and faith is very important, because it will remind us clearly of the following. Rare is the birth as a human being, like the Buddha explained. Rare is the opportunity of hearing the Dhamma. Dangerous is the delusion of the mind. If you are deluded and you don't pay attention to the opening verse, that's the reason why, as you miss this window, you are going to regret like anything. But too late. Once you miss this window, you also don't know where you are. You also don't know where and how you miss all this. That is how pitiful it is. So if you have this, you will understand. Because there is an analogy of the turtle's egg in the great ocean. I read to you. In the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha used the metaphor of a blind turtle in the vast ocean to explain how difficult is it to be reborn as a human being and at the same time to have the chance of hearing the Dhamma. The Buddha says, suppose there is a turtle floating in the vast ocean. The turtle has a hole the size of which is just slightly larger for the head of the turtle to pop in. Oh, sorry, the turtle egg has a hole with the size which is slightly larger for the head of the turtle to prop into. There is a long-lived sea turtle in ocean. Once every 100 years, this turtle come out from the bottom of the ocean and pop his head into the ocean surface. And the probability of it hitting the hole of the turtle egg is the probability of being born as a human and to hear the Buddha Dhamma. That is, to be able to be born as a human and having the chance to hear the Buddha Dhamma is just as hard as the blind turtle to encounter the turtle's egg on the vast ocean and let its head go through the hole of that turtle egg. Therefore, do not be heedless anymore. So you will not lose sight of this great opportunity of already having the special condition to be born as a human being. And the great condition to hear the Dhamma, yet not taking it seriously to diligently cultivate, to awaken to it, is going to be a real waste. If one misses this window, it may be hundreds of millions of eons later before one can find another such condition or opportunity. Then what is heedfulness and apamada? We are done. Below is the apamada sutta. This one is good. You have to at least know that how heedfulness was emphasized. Apamada sutta. As Sarvati, as he was sitting on one side, King Parsanandi of Kosala said to the Blessed One, is there, Lord, any one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure? Benefit in this life and benefit in life to come, means future life. This one is a good question, isn't it? The Buddha replied, there is one quality, great king, that keep both kind of benefits secure, means benefit in this life and benefit in future life. But what, Lord, is this one quality? The Buddha replied, it is heedfulness, great king. Just as the footprint of all living beings with legs can be encompassed by the footprint of the elephant, and the elephant's footprint is declared to be supreme among them in terms of great size, in the same way, heedfulness is one of the qualities that keeps both kinds of benefits secure. Benefit in this life and benefit in lives to come. That is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one well gone, the teacher said further, means the Buddha, for one who desires long life, health, beauty, heaven, and noble birth, lavish delight, lavish delight one after another. The wise praise heedfulness in performing deeds of merits. When heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefit in this life and benefit in life to come. By breaking through to your benefit, you are called enlightened and wise. To be mindful or in sati is to be in the state of relaxed inner awareness or attentiveness without thought. To be heedful is to be aware and mindful before the knowing, to understand the truth and see things as they are. When the mind is silent, mindful, and attentive without thought, then it is in sati. The silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate Buddha Dhamma, thus developing the wisdom, is heedfulness. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness. And when one is heedless, one is hardly aware and only merely conscious of life. Because one is too busy and heedlessly thinking, planning and worrying about life, so much so one is totally missed out on life. One never really lives life because one is so preoccupied with one's thinking or thought process. Hence the heedlessness, we are constantly lost in thought most of the time and throughout the day. So this one you have to make a note because you have to pay attention. Whereas heedful living allows us to be ever mindful of all our mental intention behind all our action, speech and thought process. This will enable us to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factor and keep our precept as advised by the Buddha. Then we will need to apply the four right effort to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. Heedfulness will prevent us from heedless throughout the day, so that the five hindrances of mind can be overcome and finally rooted out. Heedfulness will also enable us to trace the origination factor of the five mental hindrances and three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion when they arise due to one's reaction of mind to sense experience. By understanding how they arise via wisdom, we will be able to retrospectively reverse it. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teaching to test and witness the vulnerable truth and the dependent origination occurring within our form and mind with every moment of mental consciousness or mental activity. Heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi, leading to wisdom. When one is heedful and mindful with inner awareness most of the time, one can see everything very clearly because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and is not preoccupied with any heedless thinking. So it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thought, mental intention, emotion, fear, etc. It can also be aware of other movements like the moving car. This specific phenomenal awareness, all our physical action and movement, etc. When mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a continuous flow. Then your seeing or awareness will be so different, because it can be aware of all life's physical, mental and nature's flow. The mind is just silent and aware, one with all phenomena without thought and always heedful. When one's mind is no longer preoccupied or the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity and one can see very clearly, just like the saying goes, "Truth is everywhere, why can't you see?" For those who see, they always see. That is, when one is heedful, there is no thought. Only the senses are aware. So there is a lot of clarity. Everything is so clear. Without thought, there is no evil root, no fear, no selfishness, no emotional negativity, etc. So develop the silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. For more detail on heedfulness, please refer to the recorded talk. How to overcome anger? This one I have gone through. Anyway, I will still read for you because we have covered quite a lot. When there is anger arising, just be aware, don't think. Then silence your mind and sit back to relax. After a while, the agitation due to the stirring of your mind into anger via your heedlessness and delusion will slow down. Then suddenly it will become completely still. Then you will come to understand with joy clearly that if you don't react to stir the mind, then you are in your original natural state of mind, which is peacefulness and calm before the stirring. The analogy of a pool of still water will help illustrate the point. If stirring by a falling branch or a stone thrown into the pond the ripple will start to form. True or not? Yeah? You drop something, the ripple will come. Then wind and weather may also create waves, just like anger and fear appearing in the mind due to external stimulant. So it's a very good analogy. Understand? A still pond, like Ajahn Chah used still forest pool. When it's still, a lot of animals will come and drink from it. A lot of things will happen when branches all this fall in it or people throw stone. That silence can be aware of all this. You follow? Yeah. So this is a very good analogy. If you are calm, silent, and still, then you will know when something is dropped into you, how it sends ripple. Your mind is also like that. Ajahn Chah's still forest pool, the Dhamma, very good, not bad. Then there's another one. I forgot the title already. A very thin book. I forgot that. But he gave the analogy of a tree. He said, the tree, when there is no wind to develop fluttering, what happened to the tree? The tree is very still, isn't it? Correct or not? Like your mind, your true mind, still. Then when the wind come, what happened? The tree start to flutter. Understand? They're not peaceful already. So what is the wind? The wind is external, not inherent to the tree. Understand? So it's the gas of the mind. When they come in, because you don't have mindfulness and wisdom, or yonisomaneskara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, so your mind flutter, stir, react. That's why not peaceful. So what must you do? What must you do? You don't go and do anything. When the wind stop, what happened? Go back to its natural state of stillness again, isn't it? So the fluttering is due to external sense experience and the sense stimulus. But because of delusion, you go and stir and flutter. That's why if you really have the samadhi, the understanding, the wisdom and the stillness, you will know the gas of the mind, like, who was it? I think Jin Tai. The first time the thing, he developed some stillness. Then the cushion fall. Then it's like something passed by. It does not flutter. And that's all. Then he was full of joy. But then, unknowingly attached to this good state. Then later on, we are very new. When he meant it, he cannot get this. So, not so peaceful. So this is why he think like no progress. But later on you will understand it's not about peacefulness. It's about understanding. If it's stable already, then you can access to this state anytime. But because you don't understand, you need condition for it to arise. Understand? So understanding is very different. When you understand, you just have to silence. Just like this anger. A mind that is heedful, wise, and constantly aware will not be stirred by any delusion. Hence, it will be very calm and peaceful, always. As habitual tendencies develop over the years are difficult to eradicate or do away with, one will need to be heedful most of the time, throughout the day, throughout their daily life, to stabilize the wisdom, to deal with the strong habitual negative tendency. When the spiritual faculty of samadhi and enlightenment factor of equanimity are there, then one will no longer be entangled. The mind that is transformed will not react anymore, and instead, it will just flow and accord via wisdom. When you try to share, and there is no condition to share, but then others want to argue and want to be right, then you will say, yes, you are right, and let them be right. Because you don't understand. They don't understand duality as yet. So just let things be. Then one must ask the question, right according to who? And why must one defend oneself? It is because of ego, the self-delusion, that condition one's selfishness, emotional negativity and fear. Understand that things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. We are seeing things as they are. Grasping and clinging to sense experience via delusion is the cause of suffering. Only wisdom free or liberate, nothing else. With wisdom, one will be able to understand and accept life more and more. So now you understand, when people argue with you or what, you can just silent because no more conditions, because they want to be right. So you can say, it's okay, never mind. I think you are right. When you say that, do you lie or not? You didn't lie. You're right according to him. That's why you can still come out of it. Yeah, I think you are right. Sorry about what happened. So he happy, you also happy there. Because you didn't lie, you didn't violate the precept. You got right according to him. Understand? Then you can stop the unnecessary proliferation of argument, misunderstanding. Yeah. That's why I say we are not here to argue about right and wrong. We are here to share understanding. You can keep your personality and views and opinion. No need to, because it's a sharing. It's not a one-way traffic that you must believe. No. You're supposed to go back and investigate into it. So this is what meditation is all about. Okay, next one. During meditation, I heard and perceived the branches of the tree, and I returned to Anapanasati. But then the thought regarding the falling branch arise. May I have your comment? This is interesting, isn't it? Yeah? He heard the branch cracking. Then what happened? The 6R. Yeah, Sankara. But the 6R say what? Return to Anapanasati. So return. But the attachment went in already. As you return, you want to do Anapanasati. That cracking sound, you are curious. Understand? Then the thought arises. You understand what is going on. Yeah. Then he asked, can I have your comment? What was it? Yeah, form and mind. That is your perception of form. That is perception of form. You are not meditating already, understand? Because the branches and the thing is a perception. The sankhara started already, like my daughter said. So you are not meditating, understand? You just relax and silent. You want to investigate, like I told Ingbi, come out of it, then only investigate. When you meditate, don't try to know. You understand? Yeah? Yeah. Anyway, I read to you the answer. This is what you are supposed to see in your meditation, where there is this subtle grasping going on within your mind. Meditation is to uncover all this unhealthy delusion and unwholesome subtle attachment to what we perceive with every moment of sense experience. We are our trained mind in heedfulness or silent inner awareness to understand what is going on in our own form and mind. How we are aware to understand... Oh, sorry, this one is read through it. How we are conditioned into thinking and reaction of mind, like and dislike, via our own self-delusion. Why do this thought arise and not other thought? And we also see clearly how we are conditioned into grasping and clinging via the suffering caused by our own self-delusion, selfishness, emotional negativity due to the three evil roots, which are the roots of all evil. In this particular case, there is the curiosity of mind due to ignorance that condition your grasping to what you perceive early on, which is a falling branch. Falling branches. This is attachment to one of the five aggregates of form and mind. And in this case, it is perception aggregate. So the first of the dependent origination link of avijja paccaya sankhara, or dependent on ignorance sankhara, which is mental activity, comes to be. Hence the thought or thinking about the falling branch. This is witnessing how your mind functions. And via all this heedfulness training, you will also witness all of the Buddha's teaching, like the Four Noble Truths, the 12 Links, etc., in your own life experience, via your daily mindfulness to understand who you are, what you are, including how you function as a human being, how the sense door consciousness and the stirring of the mind come to be, etc. So as to develop the requisite wisdom and understanding, leading to the subsequent awakening via insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, especially the anatta universal characteristic. So this is very useful. The moment you have that understanding, then straight away you know sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. The thought ceases straight away. Then you go back into the silence. But in this case, you cannot blame the kayamita. You know why? He still need to train. That's why he's doing anapanasati. So this thing will arise. Then you know there is no stability of mindfulness. Your daily mindfulness is not there. Spiritual faculty is not stable. This is how you learn through real life experience. Okay, maybe we can stop here. You got any question? Oh, 8:42. Just nice, huh? Do you have any question? Oh, we covered a lot, 118 already. Oh, sadhu to you. 119 already, huh? Oh, now, tomorrow got chance to complete, I think. The appendix I won't cover, I just go through quickly with you later on. But the appendix is very good. Any question? Yeah? Do you have any question? Or anybody want to share anything? Quite a number of karamita came and share. I don't know whether they want to share or not. There's a lot of very good thing to know. But I don't think they want to share. Nobody put up their hand. I better put on my normal glass so that I can see you. My reading glass. Ah, yeah, come. Yes, Sarahan. Yeah, come, Sarahan. I have a drink. Come, take the mic. Thank you.
Good evening, Brother Teo and Dharma brothers and sisters. Actually, I have a few things to share, but I think I will share something that Brother Ng want me to share. No agent, just that. As I mentioned last year, I started cultivating.
Very new, huh? Very
yes. Good. Ever since I have this strong sadha and virya.
Oh, very good.
Because I have a very strong sadha and virya. Oh. And then the sati came.
Wow, sadhu, very good.
Then I become very diligent.
Oh, very
and,
good, very good.
Very
wow,
determined,
sadhu,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Determined to learn.
Yeah.
So I learned the relaxed and mindful meditation.
Very good.
From this Kuoming San Temple.
Oh, they also teach like that.
Yes.
Relax and mindful, aware.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Very good.
So,
what Kuoming San?
Kuoming San, yes.
Where is it?
Bright Hill Temple in
Singapore. Singapore, oh, okay. Yeah, I thought the sword fighting on Kuoming Ting. That one is the what? The chair cow one. Chong Mo Ke.
So,
thank you.
It's the first time I meditate.
Oh, okay.
So, when I sit down, wow, my leg very
oh,
painful.
A lot of painful.
So like 10-15 minutes already, wow, I cannot tahan already. So he tell you to relax. So we do half hour sitting, half hour
walking.
Then we do it all the time, but there's not much like reporting or anything.
Okay.
But just go there and relax.
Yeah.
Like for me very new, there's not much instruction.
Given.
Just relax, like, mind sleeping, relax.
Oh, they teach you mind sleeping also. Very good.
Yes, mind sleeping, relax. So
oh, very
I
good.
Just do that all the time.
Sadhu.
But the pain still comes.
Okay.
So
then how do you handle?
Okay. But anyway, he doesn't tell you how to handle. He just say, relax.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So you just,
Yeah.
No much
instruction.
Interaction.
Yes.
So I go back, I try, you know. I try every day, you know, sit. 15 minutes, then 20 minutes, but the pain still comes. So I continue. I very determined. No?
Oh,
I see
good,
all the people, sit like expert. I say, how come they can do it?
Good.
I think I should be able to.
You must be able to do it.
Yeah, so that is my thinking.
Yeah.
Very determined, then I want to also sign up for the one day retreat, you know.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, because of the one day retreat, I'm even more
diligent.
I try very hard. So weekend, just before the eve of the meditation retreat, I try, you know. So I sit, you know, and relax, sit. I tell you, it's like a hero, you know.
Yeah.
I sit, you know.
You endure, I know.
I endure, and very mindful and aware, you know. Until, the pain, very, very acute.
Come and test you,
Just like what you described, you know. And then suddenly,
it flashed off.
I sit very long, you know.
Yeah, very long.
I never sit so long before, you know. Then it flashed, I wasn't thinking at all.
Yeah, not thinking. No thought.
I do not know what is that is.
Shift of consciousness. Yeah. Your consciousness shift. Yeah. Because you just endure. Negative thought.
Yeah,
you are so full of faith, Sadhaviriya.
Yeah, so full of faith.
And you determine. Yeah. That's why you can go through.
Yes.
You will flash through.
Yes.
What happened this guy?
I tell you, it's just that long, very stable, like that. Because my teacher said, you cannot because you're very new, right? You cannot meditate for hours, you know. But I was very determined to go for the retreat.
Yeah.
So I put my alarm clock, 1 hour and 1.5 hour. So if the alarm rings, if I can tahan, then I just
continue.
Then
1.5 hours.
My husband, that time was weekend, Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then the Monday is the national day where I have to go for the retreat.
Yes.
My husband tell the children and the wife, lunchtime, and also everybody come and eat. So, and my alarm also ring off. And then I just...
continue.
I can hear all the activities. And then the flash just stay there, you know.
Very good. Sadhu.
Stay there.
But you don't perceive the pain anymore. Yeah.
No, I come out. I mean, I'm sitting, there's no pain, just the pride, don't know what.
Flash,
like
that. There is a shift of consciousness, the clarity, then the energy inside there.
Yeah.
It all comes out.
When
those
I come
things.
Out, it's like, wow, nothing, you know?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing happened to me. I said,
correct.
Wow.
That is meditation. Amazing. But you need to develop understanding out of it. After you come out, you reflect and contemplate, you will know. It's a shift in consciousness. That's why when the mental hindrance is there, if you label it, you can never have this. But because you are determined, you have the faith, you don't label anymore. Yeah. You determine to see it through. That's why you see it because of the retreat that you sign up.
Yes.
Then it flashes through. That's how the shift of consciousness comes. Then there is this bright light. After that thing become like full of virya, full of energy. That's why this one supersede that sensation. Then it free the thing. Yours is like that, swinging. come and go.
No, it's just like that. Keep in that state.
Yeah. So you got any question?
So I just come of it and I feel very good. After that, no more pain. I can sit for 2 hours.
Even 3 hours also can.
But I always put 1 hour, 2 hour, alarm setting.
But you have to remember one thing. It's not how long you sit. It's mindfulness to develop wisdom and understanding. This is to develop wisdom. Because you didn't make use of the condition to check what actually happened to that place that is giving you the pain. If you have used that clarity of mind, that awareness to go down, then you can see your mind is your mind. Your body is your body. Separation.
Actually, the when it was like that, I cannot feel this part of my body, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something observing.
I know.
And then this thing, you know.
Yes, because that one is the arupa consciousness, formless. That's why you cannot perceive your form. Whereas the one that I went through is awareness based. Okay. That's why I can still be aware. But I can see the awareness, the mind, is totally different from the body. It's detached. Okay. Then I understand the first jnana, pariccheda jnana. Means able to discern between form and mind. And this is the real one. The one that they teach on, you know, they say Paricheda Jnana is when you know that there is the knowing element, which is the mind, and the form that it knows. This is the first Jnana. I mean, people can have their own understanding. But later on, I realized after I went through this, no. You're supposed to have that insight to see clearly, mind is mind. Form is form. Yeah. That's why the first jnana knowledge, able to discern clearly what is form, what is mind. You can actually have that, but you went into the arupa, the formless consciousness. That's why you don't perceive your leg. That's why you cannot be aware of the pulling sensation and all those things that is happening inside there. Yeah. But it's okay. It's an experience. Then you feel confident, you got faith, where you can see it. I think that was because you have done it in your past. Then there is condition for you to determine so strongly. That's why your sister, the Han, when he came to my class a few months back, he tell me, he said, Bratio, I want to bring my dear sister to the Dhamma. She seems to have the interest now. He said, start and all those things. But she didn't tell me. He said, from Singapore, the sister must be you.
Yeah. I actually in the past no interest, but only since last year I have interest in this.
Okay.
So I started and I'm quite diligent because I want to join with
you. Yeah. Oh, so this 9 day, you got no problem,
Yeah.
Because what helped you was you described the first 2 day, I think, first day or second day, about the bowing one, three step one.
Yes.
That one helped you a lot.
Yes,
without
yes.
that one, you cannot
yes.
clear.
Actually, that bowing.
You feel very light.
Yeah, very light.
Then
like
no
floating.
Pain, nothing like floating. But that is the experience of sati, mindfulness, and that is from your past.
Yes.
Otherwise, you cannot do it. Otherwise, your mind cannot be so strong. You must have taken some form of affirmation, which is very strong.
Yeah, it's very strong.
Very
strong all the way.
You just want to do, that's it.
Yeah.
You don't question, die also die.
Yes, exactly.
Die
it's
also
like,
die.
No thought, just do.
That is the right attitude.
So like today, we do the housekeeping here, right?
Yeah.
The first time we do, very messy because we don't know how to use the
yeah,
know how to
mop,
use the
mop. The mop.
Very big check. And then today we do, fantastic,
Fantastic.
Everything just do,
no thought, mindful, and very happy, enjoy.
Sadhu. All just do, and very fast,
Very fast, very efficient, you have clarity, when you are mindful, you are very efficient. Then no aversion, no nothing.
Yes.
Beautiful, sadhu, thank you
good.
So much. Very good.
So it's
sadhu.
Like, when you go home, you will need
to do this type of household work. Understand?
Yeah.
You know how it happened? Meditation, when you start, is like that. The Cantonese say you very lun chun one initially, very child. You don't know, you have not done it. But once you are mindful, attentive, then you will learn how to do it. Then when you understand, it's just like people point out to you with the instruction, then you realize this instruction is very good. Then you try. Like her case. Hey, so efficient. And you can do it very fast. With a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. Yeah, very light. And no more like the first time. You use the word what? Very pitching. What is the meaning? Force yourself to do a frustrated and force yourself
with
to do.
The mob,
everything.
Yeah, because keep falling, with the time.
Uh-huh.
So I keep dropping
Means the deadline and all those things. Very good.
Yeah.
This
so there's a difference that I see.
Big difference.
Yes.
And this is for you to share so that people understand.
Yeah.
When you start, you don't worry. You can be very lunchen. But those who have gone through it, they know. Some very fast, like her case, where she is very determined, her faith. That some take a longer time. It's okay, as long as you understand that this is not going to work. So you have to reflect, contemplate, then think of a way to do it efficiently. So meditation is the same. Don't go and deviate, understand not? And go Holland, come back, still don't know that you are in Holland, still think that there is vipassana, understand not? Then you think you got jnana. You think you first stage of sainthood already, then you think now, no more anger already. oh, anagami already. Then after that, wow, arahan already. Where you can see light. They say enlightenment, see light, arahan already. This is crazy. So this is what is happening when you don't have the understanding. But the actual true cultivation, the first factor enlightenment of sati, if that also you don't understand, how can the other seven factor, the other six factor enlightenment arise? Understand? Or? The first one, if it's not there, the whole meditation is gone. Without sati, there is no heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead, straight away dead. Without sati, you cannot cultivate four foundations of mindfulness. Without sati, you cannot cultivate the, even keeping the precept, you cannot. You cannot be mindful of your mental intention and all those things. When it arises, you cannot be with it at the moment to understand. Then you don't have the ability to develop understanding of the Dhamma. Because sati is one of the spiritual faculty. For you to understand spiritual teaching, then you will never understand or go into the cultivation of what constitutes evil. And you will never understand how the advice of the Buddha come about, where you don't have right view. So a lot of things are missing, and the whole jigsaw puzzle is very confusing. Because a lot of people tell me, brother, the uniqueness of your sharing, you can link everything and make everything very simple and very clear. Whereas the other teacher that teach, like everything is separate Dhamma, understand? They cannot even link the five mental hindrance and the five spiritual faculties. Then they can't even tell you that the advice of the Buddha, the first right view, law of karma, how is related to that. Then how the advice bring about the teaching. The taking of refuge, paying of respect, reaffirming of your precept, renewal of precept. Why you take precept also didn't make clear. They just read to you. Then a lot of people just become Buddhist because they think by doing all those things, chanting all these things, they become a Buddhist. No. You must really have the understanding of the Buddha's teaching. Then really put it into practice. Then only you are worthy of being called the disciple of the Buddha, a true Buddhist. At least you must heed his advice to avoid all evil. It means ever mindful not to break your precept. Undertake that training role. Then right effort to develop virtue, wholesomeness, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the four right effort. And you do all this, then you become a true cultivator, a true Buddhist. Then you are worthy of the Buddha because you heed his advice, you follow his teaching, then you meditate. Very good. Thank you so much. Yeah?
Last but not least, I just want to thank you for your guidance because my sister insists that I should come and join her meditation group. Her insistence and also there is condition for me to come I thank both of you for
your sister actually have good mind, very sincere to get you to understand all this.
Right, she said you're very good and can able to explain a lot of things. So that's why I come.
Sadhu.
Thank you very much.
No problem. You also have your parami, your condition, your good karma. Otherwise, you won't be here too. My nature to rejoice. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Okay. Finish Dhamma session. 9 o'clock already. We get Joyce, Ingby, Pamasuri. Come. We chant the Karaniya Metta Sutta. Dhamma Chakka, sorry. The